That's a promise that every believer can rely on. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is a daily podcast, and we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Today is Poetry Thursday, and our reading will be Job 27 and 28. I'm calling the episode, Stand Firm. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless our time around your word today and teach us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's begin. Job chapter 27. And Job took up his discourse again. As surely as God lives, who has denied me justice, the Almighty, who has made my life bitter, for while my spirit is still in me, and the breath from God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, and my tongue will whisper no deceit. I will never declare that you three are in the right. Until I die, I will not set aside my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness and never let it go. My conscience will not reproach me for as long as I live. May my enemy be like the wicked, my adversary like the unrighteous. For what hope does the godless have when he is cut off, when God takes away his life? Does God listen to his cry when distress overtakes him? Will he find delight in the Almighty? Will he call out to God at all times? I will teach you about the power of God. What is on the Almighty's mind I will not conceal. If you yourselves have seen all this, why in the world do you continue this meaningless talk? This is the portion of the wicked man allotted by God, the inheritance that evildoers receive from the Almighty. If his children increase, it is for the sword. His offspring never have enough to eat. Those who survive him are buried by the plague, and their widows do not mourn for them. If he piles up silver like dust and stores up clothing like mounds of clay, what he stores up a righteous man will wear, and an innocent man will inherit his silver. The house he builds is as fragile as a moth's cocoon, like a hut that a watchman has made. He goes to bed wealthy, but will do so no more. When he opens his eyes, it is all gone. Terrors overwhelm him like a flood. At night, a whirlwind carries him off. The east wind carries him away, and he is gone. It sweeps him out of his place. It hurls itself against him without pity as he flees headlong from its power. It claps its hands at him in derision and hisses him away from his place. Job chapter 28. Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the ground and rock is poured out as copper. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches the farthest recesses for the ore in the deepest darkness. Far from where people live, he sinks a shaft, in places travelers have long forgotten. Far from other people, he dangles and sways. The earth from which food comes is overturned below as though by fire, a place whose stones are sapphires and which contains dust of gold, a hidden path no bird of prey knows, no falcon's eyes has spotted it. Proud beasts have not set foot on it, and no lion has passed along it. On the flinty rock, man has set to work with his hand. He has overturned mountains at their bases. He has cut out channels through the rocks. His eyes have spotted every precious thing. He has searched the sources of the rivers, and what was hidden he has brought into the light. But wisdom, where can it be found? Where is the place of understanding? Mankind does not know its place. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not with me," and the sea says, "It is not with me." Fine gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be measured out for purchase with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystals can be compared with it, nor can a vase of gold match its worth. Of coral and jasper no mention will be made. The price of wisdom is more than pearls. The topaz of Cush cannot be compared with it. It cannot be purchased with pure gold. But wisdom, where does it come from? Where is the place of understanding? For it has been hidden from the eyes of every living creature, and from the birds of the sky it has been concealed. Destruction and death say, with our ears we have heard a rumor about where it can be found. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and observes everything under the heavens. When he made the force of the wind and measured the waters with a gauge. When he imposed a limit for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm. Then he looked at wisdom and assessed its value. He established it and examined it closely. And he said to mankind, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding.
Well, beloved, in these two chapters, Job begins quite a long soliloquy in response to what he's heard from his friends. It continues for five chapters, and he makes some excellent points. As Job began today, in essence, he said that no matter what, his friends' accusations against him will not wear him down. As long as he lives, he will maintain that he has been a man of integrity. Have you ever been in an argument or a debate with someone who just won't give it up, and you finally just say, okay, fine, have it your way, just to get them to let it go? Well, Job is not prepared to do that in this case, because the argument is over his integrity. One's integrity is worth defending, especially if the people attacking your integrity are people who matter to you. The last thing Job wants is to be thought of as unrighteous. In this translation, the word used is godless, but in the King James, it's hypocrite, and Job considers this to be the worst condition a person could be in. And of course, it was the religious hypocrites that Jesus spoke most loudly against. It should be said at this point, Job is seen as taking the upper hand with his friends. He's now taking the role as an instructor, and he's telling them how it is instead of defending himself. And so he tells them that he agrees with their point that the ungodly will be judged by God, and all their supposed gains will evaporate, and their sins against others will not stand. But he tells them that God's judgment is not always immediate, and that it can take time for their consequences to come down on them. And so the time that we see between when the unrighteous do their evil deeds and when the consequences come is really no time at all in God's perspective. We don't perceive time like God does. God is outside of time. But one thing is sure, sin always has consequences. God is just, and he will make things right. I'm so glad that this is true because the world has seen an awful lot of ugliness, hasn't it? But the victims of that evil will be made whole. We're told in Revelation 21:4 that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. That's a promise that every believer can rely on. Throughout history, God has proven himself faithful. He always delivers. He never fails. And this promise is made to those who put their trust in him. It's a part of the gift that is offered to anyone who makes the choice to take a new direction in their life instead of the direction that inevitably leads away from God and toward the consequences of wrong choices and living for one's self instead of in the direction of the one who offers life. We all make wrong choices, but we don't have to face the consequences if we decide to accept God's gift that is made available through Jesus Christ, who lived his entire life without making one wrong choice. He was sinless. When we accept that gift that God offers, the Bible says that the perfection of Jesus is credited to us. It's a gift. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. We can only just receive it. And it's offered to every person, not just the good person or the bad person, not just the educated person or the uneducated person. It's not just for the rich or just for the poor. It's offered to all, because every one of us needs it if we want to see God. Jesus came that none would perish, but that all would have eternal life. Let me know your thoughts. Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or go to comment.lifespringmedia.com or send me an email at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading tomorrow is Jeremiah 7 through 11. It's Prophecy Friday. I've got a question for you. Does the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible bring something good to your life? If it stopped showing up in your podcast app, would you miss it? You may have noticed that there are no commercials on the show, so to keep it coming, I need you to support it with time, talent, or treasure. It's called Value for Value. That's how you can keep the show coming to you, beloved. There are real expenses to bringing you a 7-day-a-week show, so if you enjoy seeing a new episode of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible in your podcast app every day, if you're getting any benefit from hearing God's Word and maybe a little something from my comments, please carefully consider making a donation. A one-time donation would be great, but signing up for a weekly or monthly or quarterly donation would really help to even out the slow times. Pray about it, would you? Then go here.
LifeSpringMedia.com/support.
My thanks to the team, Kirsty, Denise, Michael Hainer, and Scott Snyder. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of your day. I look forward to tomorrow. My name is Steve Webb. Walk with God today. Bye.
Chapters, transcripts, images, links, stream micropayments to the podcast, and send Satoshis in real time over the Lightning Network using a compatible Podcasting 2.0 app. Just go to newpodcastapps.com. That's newpodcastapps.com. And for more info, go to podcastindex.org.